Guys, welcome to the J. Scott Outdoors podcast. I want to get right to this episode. Before we do, I want to thank you guys for listening to this podcast. Want to let you know the best way to reach out to me is probably an email at jscottoutdoors@gmail.com or through my Instagram account at jscottoutdoors. Just send me a direct message. I want to thank GoHunt.com. They are the title sponsor and have been since the inception of my podcast in 2015. You guys know Cody Nelson, my friend, the glassing guru, the optics authority. They're the optics manager at GoHunt.com. If you guys have any optics needs, any tripod, any glassing questions, you can reach out to Cody directly at 602-399-3699. You can text or call him. That is his cell phone. You can also reach him at 702-847-8747. You can email optics@gohunt.com. Make sure to always use, whether ordering online or if you're calling and call Cody direct, use the J. Scott promo code. You're going to get a 10% discount. Also, you get a 10% discount at the Go Hunt Insider, which has incredible mapping now with the Go Hunt maps. It also has amazing draw odds and strategy articles, which is super important this spring going into application season. Go check it out, gohunt.com/jscott. And if you use the J. Scott promo code, you're going to get a $50 Go Hunt gear shop gift card when you sign up just by using the J. Scott promo code. I also want to thank Kuyu Ultralight Hunting. I've been using Kuyu gear since 2010 when the company started. They're based out of California. My late friend Jason Harrison was the founder of that company, and since Jason's passing, the company has just continued to push the bar of excellence and innovation. Go to Kuyu, that's KUIU.com. You can order, it's a direct-to-consumer website. They also have a retail store in Dallas, Texas, as well as the headquarters in Dixon, California. Go to Kuyu, KUIU.com to order. I also want to thank Phonescope.com. Cheston and his guys over there at Phonescope make the best digiscoping adapters for your binos or for your spotting scope. Use the JSCOT24 promo code and get a 10% discount on all orders. Guys, let's get right to this episode. Again, I appreciate you tuning in, and God bless. Guys, welcome to the J. Scott Outdoors podcast. I've got my friend David Matthews, David Matthews Outfitters, on the line. We're going to talk New Mexico hunting. David, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Jay. How are you?
Good. I want to talk to you today. I know we've got our deadline coming up for New Mexico, and everyone's wanting to know what to put in for and what kind of year it's going to be and what not. So before we get into kind of unit by unit, animal by animal, how are things looking as we look to apply in New Mexico? What is on the forecast? What are the ground conditions like, going into the draw? Anything we need to know about, or what are conditions there?
So far, I mean, it looks like our winter, just say across the elk units down on the Gila, it looks like we've had, above average moisture. There's still some snow on the ground. Looks pretty good, actually. I think that it wasn't quite as much as last year, but I think it's all come spread out through the winter, which is good, So I think we're going to be looking pretty good as far as the elk units for antler growth. The deer units are better than they have been. I think they're still not quite as good as they normally are. But the last few years we've had some subpar antler growth, if you would say, up in the northern deer units. But I think we might snap out of it this year and actually see some fairly good antler growth. So
Well, good. I know we had a good moisture year for elk last year in New Mexico. Pretty much across the state, wasn't it? Pretty good shape. Obviously, good winter moisture, but pretty lackluster monsoon, right?
Yes, our monsoon was down quite a bit. I mean, if there was even quote unquote a real monsoon, it really did never fire up. It never really happened. You know, 1 day, 2 days, a month of rain during the monsoon season was nothing like it normally is. Normally daily out there in that country, it gets it on pretty good. So yeah, our monsoon was pretty dead last year.
Gotcha. I want to start out talking about the exotics, if you hunt them at all, and okay. Just go over the different exotics. Then we'll go into deer and we'll finish with the elk.
Okay, cool.
So why don't you start and kind of tell about the different exotic animals and we'll kind of go through some of the units and whatnot and give your take on it.
Okay. Well, first off, we'll start with oryx. Oryx is primarily an on-range hunt. Most people, it's a once-in-a-lifetime draw. There's plenty of oryx, and it's a really, really, really fun hunt. They limit the hunts to about 3 days on-range, and you could possibly show up at the gate on one of the mornings to go hunt, and they could turn you around and cancel the entire day for you if the military decides they're going to come in and bomb that range.
And we're talking about the White Sands Missile Range, right?
Yeah, the White Sands Missile Range. So they still actively do live bombing on the ranges. So your whole day could get canceled, and so what you think is a 3 day hunt could quickly turn into a 2 day hunt. So which, it's not a big deal. There's plenty of oryx. You can get it done, fairly easy in a couple days time. So they also have the off range, which the off range isn't as plentiful, and they're scattered, we saw oryx this year probably close to 70 miles from the closest range, so they're scattered out across down there, there's plenty of them. They do a month-long season on those, so in a month you ought to be able to find some oryx, and if you're hunting them hard, you should be able to find them in just a few days, spending some time driving, looking for tracks, looking for oryx sign type of thing. So those hunts are a little easier to draw. None of them are guaranteed by no means, but the off range is just a little easier to draw, just for the sheer fact that the orcs are scattered. It's not quite as easy of a hunt as it is on range. So
okay,
and then next we have our ibex. Our ibex numbers are down, quite a bit. I think I heard somewhere along the lines on their last aerial survey saying that they thought they had counted 166. I think 10 or 15 years ago, I think they had counted somewhere in the lines of like 2,600.
Wow.
So they have really put a hurting on the numbers with some of the nanny hunts and immature billy hunts, that they've been doing now for going on 10 or 12 years, maybe even 15 years now. I'm losing track of time. I'm starting to feel that age,
So you and me both.
So I think, they've really, really lowered the population by those management hunts. And I think the Game and Fish, honestly, I don't think that they really thought this through, unless they're really just trying to just kill them all off, because that's kind of the way it feels. I think at 166 ibex on the mountain, and the lion population that's currently on the mountain, it's going to take forever for us to see numbers like like they used to be, even if they did away with the immature Billy and Nanny Hunt right now, you know, draw a line. Mm-hmm. So it's still a fun hunt. Challenging, you know, physically, mentally, you know, mentally more now because of the lower numbers. But it's still a great hunt, still a fun hunt, you know. Don't be discouraged too much, you know, from trying to apply for it, but just know coming into it that the numbers are drastically lower than they used to be.
Okay.
Okay, next, we do Barbary sheep or Audad, you know. That's probably one of the most underrated hunts that I feel in the state of New Mexico. It's a lot of fun. It really is. I mean, they're hard to glass, you know, looking in big country, steep country, you know, it really is, you know, in most cases you can make it as tough as you want, you know, if you're wanting to hike up the rim every day, and get after them and have a true quote unquote mountain hunt, you can make it that way. You know, but the population is good. You know, I think this year on some of the hunts in 5 days that we do the hunt for, I think we saw upwards of 220, 230 sheep, different sheep in 5 days. So, we were seeing a fair amount of sheep, you know. It's just the goal is trying to find that big mature ram, you know. And those rams, you know, on certain times of the year, like when we prefer to hunt them in January and February, those rams are kind of often bachelor, you know, bachelor groups, and they hide a little bit better than the ewes do, but you can find them in bachelor groups and small bachelor groups, but it's a lot of fun. It really is. It's a hunt, a lot of glassing included into it, and it's not for, you know, the novice glasser. You've got to be on top of your game. You know, most guys, it takes a day or two to really get them figured out and be able to see them and figure out, you know, the size that you're looking for and the color, et cetera, et cetera. So,
okay.
But unit 29 and 30 on those is my favorite. They have some other units. They have a, what I call a group 30 unit. In my opinion, I'd stay away from those. A lot of private land. Sheep numbers are low. But the 2930 is where it's at. A lot of public land, a lot of BLM, Forest Service, you know, in those units. The sheep country literally, you know, extends from the border of Texas, you know, on the south side of the state and the east side of the state, you know, all the way up and into those units. So it's really good sheep country, really, really fun hunt, so.
Okay, that rounds out the exotics, right?
Yes, sir. Yep.
Before we go into the deer, do you do anything with the antelope? And can you talk a little bit about the antelope? Even if you don't do, can you explain how the antelope works?
Yeah, we do antelope hunts, primarily draw, you know, guys that draw the tags. We don't chase the landowner vouchers and all of that stuff down with the antelope. It just, the antelope is the antelope country is awesome there, you know. Pretty much the entire state has good antelope country, you know. There's not, you know, there's a few standout units, but even some of the off units that you wouldn't that don't get as much attention, they're still great antelope bucks, you know. Some of the northeast part of the state, you know, up, you know, past Raton and all that stuff up there. It's all really good antelope country on the northeast side, all the way down the east side of the state is killer. Even down to those 29-30 units that we're doing those Barbary hunts, we saw tons of antelope, you know, tons of antelope. And it looked like that they, down there in that country, that they were started off with pretty decent growth for their horn this year too. So,
good.
But yeah, we do, you know, we do antelope hunts. We primarily focus our guys in a certain direction with the draw.
Okay, let's dive into deer. New Mexico, I know you know the deer as well as anybody there, and you produce really some really good deer compared to a lot of the other deer that I see. But New Mexico, just, it seems like it should be a better deer state than it is. And I don't mean that disrespectfully, but why is, and speaking for about mule deer, why is New Mexico mule deer not consistent? That's why I've always wondered why there's not a lot of consistency there.
This is, you know, my personal opinion. Others may have different opinion, but I think that New Mexico hasn't managed the deer as well as they should have. Meaning, you know, they initially, when this 2B, you know, they put in this 2B youth deer hunt, you know, in the peak of the rut. They started that and they initially gave out 250 youth tags. You know what I'm saying? And that's just way too many, youth deer. I mean,
they just slayed them.
Yeah. Not just youth deer hunters, just say deer hunters. Right. That's just way too many deer hunters to be hunting that 2B country. You know, during basically in the peak of the rut, you know, and they just killed out our age class, and down to the point where, I mean, they just kind of dropped the tags back the last 2 years. And I think we're going to see a few years before we even see, you know, the age class of bucks that we need to see in those units like 2B and some of the other units. But as far as inconsistency, you know, I always kind of base what we should look at, you know, by what's being killed on the Jicarilla. You know, the Jicarilla is an Indian reservation in northern New Mexico. And it seems like when they're having a great year, it seems like all the other units outside of the Jicarilla, you know, that kind of border all the way around it are having a great year also. You know, so... the Jicarilla has been down, you know, a couple years, and I think it's all just due to the drought that we've faced. And not so much last winter. We had plenty of moisture up there last winter, but I think the snow just kept on coming and coming last year, and I think it just chewed a lot of the fat off of those deer. So they just started the year, you know, their growth depleted, you know. They had all the fat chewed off of them from all the snow that we received last year. So,
they had to get their bodies in good shape before they could get going.
Exactly. I think more or less that's kind of why we saw a little bit more of a down year again this year when we had all the weather right. I mean, our monsoon 2 summers ago was awesome. Our winter last summer was really good, you know, but I think it was just because the snow just kept on coming, you know, all the way into mid-April last year. Right. And you know, that's a month and a half after some of those deer shed, you know. So they're already started on their antler growth, and they really have to start well to finish well, you know, is the way it is. So
what are your favorite units there for deer? And then are there still some big deer in units that are kind of off the radar too, right? And it's just random.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, New Mexico, if you look historically, just say in the last 10 or 15 years, some of the giant bucks that are being killed in off the quote-unquote off-the-radar units, you know, annually, you know, 13 had a 250 buck a couple years ago, you know, and some of these other units that aren't real typical deer units, you know. I think New Mexico across the board can grow a big deer in almost any unit. You know, the 250 buck last year in unit 15, you know what I'm saying? These are units that aren't real typical to see deer like that. But I think that the genetics in New Mexico are really good, you know, obviously, or else we wouldn't see deer like that pop up in off the wall units. But yeah, we do primarily most of our deer stuff are the units that surround the Jicarilla on the east and west side. So, you know, those are our primary deer units. But like I was saying, I think New Mexico, as far as genetics, can produce a big deer in almost any unit.
Okay. What about coos deer there in New Mexico?
Yeah, coos deer are great. I mean, they're fun. Everybody knows the coos game. It's challenge, stuff like that. The coos deer down in southern New Mexico is pretty awesome. I don't think that it gets as much credit as it should. There's a lot of great bucks that are taken down there, you know, with the guys that are kind of putting it together and figuring it out and figuring out how to actually hunt these coos deer.
Do you guys do hunts there?
Yeah, we do. We do a couple every year. We don't coos experts or any of that in New Mexico, but we do a couple coos deer hunts every year in New Mexico. You know, it just, when some of the seasons land, we're pretty busy with some of the mule deer hunts and other hunts that just don't allow us to do a little bit more, you know, in the coos country.
The coos, I mean, New Mexico produces some giant coos. It just doesn't have near the numbers and open kind of glassing country like Arizona in the numbers of units, right? It's just like a little bit smaller population and whatnot. And then there's some big deer that live in the thick timber too, right?
Yes, 100%. Like you said, there's areas in some of the units where, you know, the coos might only be in one specific canyon. You know what I'm saying? And you can go to that same canyon and see deer. You'll never see them all, but these are specific areas that inside of units that don't normally have, or you wouldn't think have coos deer, but you could go to that canyon daily and sit down and grind it out and find a few, you know?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, a lot of the biggest deer are, you know, there's some big ones, you know, more or less kind of in some of the pine tree country, you know, not some of the typical coos deer country that we see in Arizona, you know, some big deer that are up in the pines that are almost impossible to find unless you just stumble upon them.
All right, let's dive into the bread and butter of New Mexico, and that's, in my opinion, the elk.
Yeah.
How do you feel like going into elk season this year? What kind of condition are the elk in? What kind of condition is the habitat in?
I think the habitat, I think we're going to be solid. You know, I think, you know, a lot of the elk are just starting to shed, you know, and they're going to continue to shed here for the next month or so. And I think we're looking at halfway decent weather. You know, I think that we're going to have the normal warm up like we normally do. We've had a pretty decent winter. You know, scattered snowstorms, you know, throughout the winter, kind of just over and over dumped 5, 6, 7 inches here and there, you know, several times throughout the winter. So I think we're going to be good. A lot of the dirt tanks, you know, in certain areas are full, you know, and overflowing just to fuzz, but I think we're going to be good, you know, as far as habitat. I think as far as the elk, I think we're going to be solid. You know, last year was a great antler growth year. I think we're going to see just as good this year, maybe a little better. Our rut last year was down. You know, it wasn't on fire, but I think without the monsoon, you know, the monsoons to cool it off and get those elk kind of thinking rut-wise, I think that maybe was the cause last year that the rut really never just got going real hard. But I think this year, I mean, I think antler growth wise, we're going to be really good. So
let's dive into some of the units that you prefer to guide hunters in and you want to talk about.
Okay. Well, first off, I mean, we love unit 16D. It's a really tough unit to draw. But if you draw it, I mean, you've hit one of the gems in New Mexico as far as elk hunting. It's a great unit. It's not your flat units like some of the other units in Arizona. It's kind of mountainous, you know, canyons, lots of steep hills, big pine trees on some of the, you know, a good portion of the unit, and then it drops into some areas that are that are in the junipers, you know. So, but it is steep in a majority of the unit. It's not easy to get around. It's one that you want to train for sure. You don't want to cut yourself short in that unit. You have a good tag, you know. Don't cut yourself short. Exercise hard and get prepared for it.
David, how is 16D compared to, say, how it was 10 years ago? I mean, does it still have that quality?
Yes, I think it can produce that quality. Do we see as many as we did 10 years ago, 15 years ago? Absolutely not. I think, you know, just like everywhere, you know, the hunters are getting better. They're figuring it out. You know, hunters are getting more, they're more efficient with their equipment. Those type of things. I think that those are some of the reasons that we have seen a decline in you know, in quality in certain areas. I like I said, it still produces big bulls annually, you know, as far as, you know, some of the top producing in the state, it's still up there, you know.
Okay. So that's 16D. What are some of the other ones?
16A is another one. I mean, it's just south of 16D. You know, it butts up against it. It's another great unit. It's very similar in terrain, you know, mountainous, canyon, big canyons. You know, it's a hunt that you want to train for sure and get in shape and don't cut yourself short on. It's another top producing state, or it's top producing unit in the state. If you've drawn those units, you've drawn some good ones, and just, you know, have that mental note that if you do draw it, that it's something that you want to train for, and get prepared, you know, have some boots that are broken in and be prepared to get after it and get sweaty.
Okay. So 16D, 16A, what's next?
Yep. Next one that we like, we like unit 15. Now it's almost a 180 on it's almost a 180 on the terrain. Unit 15 does have some mountainous canyon stuff, but primarily it's more of the flatter country, you know, some of the mesas where you might have to climb a mesa and get on top of it, but it's all flat on top and you can run around, you know, and move fairly quick through it, you know, during the rut when you're chasing elk. You can get after it and cover a lot of country in a short amount of time.
Similar to terrain in like the pine country in unit 9?
Yeah,
pine country in unit 8?
I would say more like the pine country in unit 9. Okay. It's really similar to that.
And they've done a lot of thinning and stuff too, where it's got that open pine you can see a long ways, which is good and bad, right?
Yeah, it is good and bad, and good for the purpose of knowing what you're chasing, but bad, you know, when you've got to try and sneak in and try and get it done on something that's call shy, or, you know, or something that's got 25
cows. Can see
it
coming from a long ways away.
Exactly. So, and New Mexico's not typical. You know, a lot of guys think, you know, when they sit down and watch elk hunting videos, and they think that you can sit down and you call elk and elk come to you. New Mexico, they will come, you know, on occasion, but it's not. I mean, we set up hundreds of times and it never works quite like the TV shows, you know. the elk in New Mexico, I feel, you know, over hunting New Mexico and Arizona both, I feel that New Mexico elk are a little more call shy, and it might be due to the amount of, you know, elk hunters that it sees during the rut. You know, we have two seasons in New Mexico, used to have three seasons, all during the rut, and, you know, you give out X amount of tags and have X amount of people, you know, weekly trying different call, you know, calling sequences or having different call styles. There's really nothing that the elk in New Mexico haven't seen.
Right.
So I think that may contribute why the elk are a little call shy. We kill more elk in New Mexico just basically still hunting or hunting them silent and moving in on them and letting them make the noise, you know, just getting into position on them, trying to get in front of them, you know. We kill just as many that way as we do calling them right to us, so.
Okay, so 15, I've got that. What's next?
Yep. After 15, there's some really good units like 12 and 13. There's a lot more private in those units. You're going to deal with some private land. You could be chasing a bull and chase him all the way to a fence and have him jump a fence that you can't follow him on, you know. But quality in those units, 12 and 13, are excellent, you know. Really good quality in those units. Outside of 12 and 13, then you may move to like 17. It's got some big canyons, you know, steep country in 17. The numbers of elk in the unit aren't super high, but it seems like the quality is always there.
17's also no firearms. It's muzzleloader and archery only, right?
Exactly. So it's a unit just like unit 15. And it's all primitive weapon units only. So, yes.
Okay.
So after 17, then, you know, as far as quality-wise, then you'll start getting to 34 and 36. You know, some of the stuff further east in the state, those are great quality. Good numbers of elk. Herds are really good. You deal with some private here and there in both of those units. But you're not so choked down to where you can't get around in any of those. Those are both great units also.
Okay. I've got a question about some of the muzzleloader hunts. They correct me if I'm wrong, some of the rifle hunts start falling in October.
Yes, sir.
Are those bulls bugling then, or just some of the smaller bulls, and the bigger bulls have pulled off and kind of pulled back into the canyons and you know, off by themselves?
Yeah, 90% of the time, I would say that the big bulls have primarily pulled off. Are they in the canyons for some of those hunts just yet? Maybe not. They may not be in there. They may be just hanging out outside of the main herds, you know, just kind of checking at night, coming by to just make sure that there's no cows that are popping, you know, back into estrus that they may have missed the first time. So they kind of just go into like a, you know, more or less kind of like a standby mode, you know, and mm-hmm. kind of just hang out just a little way away from all the action that maybe happened during the day. You know, you may hear bulls bugling and going crazy and sneak in and walk in and think that you're coming into the best rut action of the year, and it's, you know, it's 5 5-points and 2 3-points that are just having it out, you know, duking it out. All the big bulls have kind of pulled off that time of year. But every once in a while you'll find one that's moved back in overnight, and he's kind of taken over the herd because, you know, one of his girlfriends have come back into estrus, and it's time to take over and take care. So
you bet. And then what is the late hunt situation in New Mexico? Do they have late hunts?
There are some late hunts in November, in some of the units. Those hunts are all primarily, you know, spot and stalk, all glassing, getting the bulls on the feed, getting the bulls, you know, in some of the deep canyons and that type of stuff, you know. That's primarily where you're going to find the elk during those November hunts, is lots of canyons, you know, the thick brush, you know. They're just feeding and trying to regain some of that fat they burned off during the rut.
Gotcha. All right, well, what's the best way for people to reach out to you to find out more about you and your guide service? And then I assume you also put people in the outfitter pool?
Yes. Yeah, we do. I mean, all the guys that are interested in the outfitter pool, you know, hit us up soon. I mean, we're running out of days here. I think we've got like 12 days after today before the application period is done. And, you know, there's a process to the outfitter's pool. You have to have a signed hunt contract or a outfitter's agreement, what we like to call them, with an outfitter before it's even legal to use their number to be in that 10% pool. So get a hold of us, you know, via email or on Facebook or Instagram or just call my cell, and I'd love to sit and chat with you about it, and we'll get you guys squared away and apply for all the species that you'd like to apply for in the premium units.
Awesome. Why don't you give your phone number and your email and maybe your website or something, and I'll try and link it up in the show notes as well.
Okay, cool. Well, my website is davidmatthewsoutfitters.com. My email address is dmoutfitters@hotmail.com, and my cell number is 928-300-6405.
Awesome, David. Thanks for spending some time here with us today, and we'll keep hoping that moisture keeps up, and we appreciate your time and always look forward to seeing the success of your hunters. So keep it up, and we'll be chatting at you down the road, okay?
All righty, buddy. Thank you, Jay.
All right. God bless. Take care.
Okay, bye.